Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed and Michelle Carter, senior pastors of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Ed, we've had a birthday of one of our children not too long ago this year who's the same age as church. And our birthday parties are a little bit interesting. The kids get a little bit embarrassed, actually, don't they? Why is that?
Well, you see, I love telling stories on birthdays. Do you know when you have a birthday and you're a parent? If you're not a parent yet, you'll get this when you're a parent. And I always remember when they were born. You know, when they're born, when they kind of came out. Yeah, Jenny's nodding her head. Kind of came out. And hi, Jonathan at Lancaster. It's great to see you. I remember when Jonathan was born, right? Jonathan came out. It was a bit of a struggle. Son, there's a bit of a struggle on the way out, to be really honest. And when he came, he couldn't breathe properly. He couldn't, I don't know, poor little thing. He started going purple. And so I whispered to Michelle. I said, Michelle, I know what you do. Because he said, I'm a farmer. I said, what we need to do is grab his legs. We need to swing him round. It'll get all the fluid out of the lungs and out. And then he'll be able to breathe properly. Because that's what you do with lambs, right?
Maybe we shouldn't move on.
No.
Maybe that's probably enough of that kind of story.
Well, the doctor didn't do that, did they? They took him to this machine and went kind of noise. But I did talk to the doctor afterwards. And the doctor said, it would have worked. It would have broken his hips, but it would have worked. So if I'd had my way, Jonathan, you would have been alive, but you would have been lame, probably.
So there you go. So if you're a child, you probably have those kind of embarrassing stories as well. Please don't talk to Jonathan about that. He now knows, you all know it, but we don't need to mention it. But we kind of like to look back, don't we, when it is birthday time, and we like to remember stuff. And we also like to look forwards, and we love to look forward into what's going to be. You know, that might be in the last 11 years, but what's going to be the next 11 years? What are the dreams you've got? What are the kind of passions you've got? What are the things that you really want to do going forward? And that's what birthdays are all about. And so we thought, well, why not do the same on our church birthday? You know, we've got a few minutes this morning to look at some stories. We've got a few minutes to find out some memories of what happened on the kind of the journey on the way across from where we kind of started off to where we are now. And, you know, some of you were there at the beginning, and some of you have joined us along the way, but you know what? We've all got our story. And we've all got a story of where we came to Valley and what God has done here. And I, you know, loved hearing the stories on the video, and whether you heard them now or you're going to hear them in, you know, after the message, depending on where you are. But you know what? It's all about telling stories and what God has done on the journey. So, Ed, why don't you start off?
I wanted to really take you back to 2006. 2006, Michelle and I were involved in youth work at Fullwood, which some of you remember because you were younger in those days. And we got asked to start something. We didn't know what it was at the time. We just got asked to start something, and we began praying. But we didn't feel called. We got asked, and we believe in following leaders, so we're off to do it. But we didn't feel called. And we really wanted to feel called. We wanted to have a mission from God, not just an ask from spiritual leaders. And so we were praying. And we'd organized a youth mission trip to Colorado in America, near the Rockies, which was cool place to go. And Andy will remember it in Lancaster because you came with us. And we were there, and after the mission trip, we put 10 days holiday on because we're already in America, right? So, and we drove into the Rockies, and I remember one day I was thinking and praying at the start of the day, and we're actually looking through the window, and through the window you could see the Rockies with the snow on top. It was beautiful, in the valley and everything. You should, if you never get a chance, go to the Rockies. And I remember just praying, saying, God, what does our future look like? What's gonna happen? And I was in Psalms, and I came to Psalm 78, and I want to read you the first seven verses. And really, this is our church's call of what God has called us to do. And it says this, Psalm 78, verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter hidden things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children, that they would put their trust in God, would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And this, and I read it a few times, and I got really excited. I talked to Michelle, and this idea of creating a church that was a home to empower a new generation. It's like, you know, God, we can do that for the rest of our life. Build a church where the people of God will dedicate themselves to helping others fulfill their full potential in Christ. Everything that God has put in somebody, helping each other become that. And obviously welcoming new people as much as possible into that home. Focused on helping people find God and then be released into their full potential. And we've been excited. I'm still excited about it now. I'm excited we're in four locations. I'm excited about what that might mean in the future. And so we shared that with a few people, some which are sat here this morning and at some of the other services. And in Easter 2007, we officially launched. There was 10 children, a few teenagers, and the rest were made up of adults. And we were excited about all that God was going to do. And I just think back to that original group and go, wow, you're awesome. Each one of you is awesome. And I especially want to remember Dave. Dave, in those days, he'd just gone to Hillsong College to train. And when we talked to him in 2006, he just said, Ed, as soon as I finish, you can count me in. And there was that heart from the very beginning.
There was, and at the beginning, I also took part in looking after the finances, because, you know, when there's a small group of you, you just do whatever you need to do. And as we set off, we got a budget together, and I think it was about £86,000. We were like, this is what we need to start church. And we talked to a few people, and we kind of got together, and someone sort of whispered in our ears, like, you do know that's really unrealistic. You know, churches that start, generally in the first year, get like 20,000 to 30,000 if they're really good. And we were like, well, we really believe that we're called to be this kind of church, and this is what we need to start. So, you know, we're just going to trust God for it. Filled in the forms in the bank, and it said, how much do you anticipate going through your bank account this year? Well, £86,000. And, you know, you go there and you pray. And by the end of that year, we didn't just have our budget met. We had over, I think, about £100,000 given to start a new thing that God was doing, which was called then Ribble Valley Church, which is now Valley Church. And God, we just saw miracle after miracle. We met in Walton Liddell High School. We had an amazing rate. And but it just so happened, they'd just been given an academy status, which meant they were going to do their auditorium, which meant that we then had equipment we could use. We also had like tiered seating. Their cafeteria, they got really unpractical tables for them, but they were amazing for us. We had like bistro tables because God was working, and we just had story after story. And James, you were there at the beginning. You led worship this morning, but you were there leading worship at the beginning.
Yeah.
Why don't you share?
I remember the very first service we had. We officially launched on Easter 2007. We met in a high school, as Michelle was saying. As we were redoing the auditorium, we met in the gym. And so the acoustics were crazy. I remember there was some pictures as well. I've not been able to get the pictures in time for this morning, but the tech desk was basically a couple of tables, and we had some poles to have drapes over the back and a few plastic chairs, and it was all very sort of brought together. But I remember in the early stages, we knew that our worship team was probably one of our strongest aspects to the church, that we wanted to use our opportunity of worship to engage the local community, to engage people to come in and get involved. Because from Furness, and what we used to do before we planted Valley Church, is we really had a great worship experience as a church. And so we majored on that. We recorded a little EP, for those of you who remember, called Ambassadors. We had Ambassadors and I Stand at the Cross, and we produced all these CDs. We handed them out and gave them out. I remember in the first couple of years as well, we actually tried to reach as many people as we could by actually sending the worship team out to do gigs and sessions where we played music, live acoustic stuff, and we played in churches. I think we were in Doncaster a few times. We're in Bangor in Wales. We did something at the University of Cumbria. I remember we did acoustic session there, and our name on the door, they mistyped our name. We were called Ribble Valley Church, but they called us Ripple Valley Church. So our worship team was more like a flavour of ice cream than it was a worship experience. But I remember that, and I remember the team and all the songwriting and all the things that we were doing then as well. A real highlight for me as well, one of the fun things that I think, you know, almost a bit of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, we asked a festival in Scotland called Frenzy whether our worship team and our church could be involved and actually play on the main stage. The email answer was effectively no. But they said there's a Battle of the Bands competition, so we put some of our recorded demos together, we submitted it, we became top 10 in the recordings, we qualified, we played at this festival, 7,000 or 8,000 people were there, we played To cut a long story short, we won the Battle of the Bands competition, and the prize was to play on the main stage and open the whole thing the year after. So we were the next up after us was Hillsong London, so we high-fived the team as we walked past as well, which was great. But loads of exciting things. For those of you that were here, you remember the coach trips and all the different things that we did. But one of the hallmarks as a church is we're just empowering people in worship. And it's great to see how that has journeyed all the way through the 11 years as well. And I believe that even now, it's so much better than it was. And just seeing the difference it's making in people, it's enormous.
Thanks, James. That's awesome. We also did a few crazy things along the way. We may or may not probably repeat them in the future. One of which was church on tour, where we took the church, packed everything up on a Sunday morning and did a couple of weeks in Blackburn, a couple of weeks in Chorley, and a couple of weeks in Leyland. And, you know, we didn't really see as much fruit as we kind of thought we might do, but we got some amazing people that came from one of those. Why don't you come and say a bit about that? Come on, Amanda.
So we were just nauseam, really, because we live in Blackburn and there's not much going on in Blackburn. we went along to St Wilfrid's, and what really impacted us as a family was the welcome that we got. I mean, as soon as we walked through the door, Sam was like there, like kids work. And then we went to the auditorium, people showing us the seats, and the worship was amazing. And we just felt so welcome as a family. And I know it was something that you guys put together like it was one of Ed's crazy ideas. And sometimes you think your pastor's like got crazy ideas what you're doing. But the great thing about it is we were really impacted. You know, we were impacted as a family, and it made a difference. It made a big difference when it came to a big decision to put everything down that we were doing somewhere else because God was telling us to, and to actually come and be part of Valley when we're over in Wharton Liddale. So it's not just impacted myself or Carl, it's impacted my family, it's impacted my extended family and my friends. So you know what, if you're here today, first time, welcome. I hope you do feel welcome. And I'm going to let Carl speak.
Didn't she do well to breathe? That's really good. That's me on sandwiches later. For me, going into what was St Wilfrid's then, it was a really different experience because I'm used to the big open hall. I've never seen so many curtains and sheets put up as you went. It was like a maze walking through. But then to actually sit down, and actually it was Valley Church at the cinema, I think it was at the time, and they went through a couple of films and stopped. It was a really different way of getting the message across. And we found that really fresh, as well as the welcome. Particularly Mr. Carter over there at the back, and Dave as well. I've got a selfie of you, Dave, me and you, when we first met. Yes, you had an interesting haircut. I can't find it at the moment, but I will find it later for you. The many haircuts of Dave Scholes. But it was just really a totally fresh experience, and it's something that we just keep coming back for and keep experiencing God every time, and it's just a great blessing to be here. So thank you.
Thank you, Carl. And then, as you know, we are a church now, and we have three services going on this morning, and we have some guys in the northeast meeting together. But we also tried something else along the way. And you know what? These things, like, we step out in faith because God gives us, you know, a passion and a vision to do something, and we just want to be obedient to what we believe he's calling us to do. And you know what? Sometimes these things go amazing, and, you know, we've got, as I said, services that we've kind of said hi to this morning. But we also tried to do a service somewhere else. Alex, we went to Wigan.
You did, yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So we stood in, it was the first extension service that we did, and I actually found out about it via my pastor at the time when I was at university. And they had come up and spoken here, and Ed and Shell would obviously share that they were about to start to plant into Wigan. The congregation didn't even know yet. And they recommended that potentially this could be a church that I should join when I move up, because I was really anxious about moving to Wigan and not having a church to belong to. And what I saw, because the first time that I went was actually, it was Leadership Vision Night back then, but it's now called Heart and Soul. That was the first thing that I went to that was Valley. So it was this real kind of core community of people, the real heart and soul of the church. And what I saw was every single week, a group of people coming down to Wigan in what used to be their lunch break. So we used to run the extension service in the middle of the day. So the people, we used to call it, don't know where Paul is, he's on hosting today. We used to call it doing the triple. So you would come up here in the morning and then you would go to Valley at lunchtime and then you would Wigan at lunchtime and then you would come back here in the evening, and it would be these amazing days. And every single week, even though we didn't get people coming consistently, and obviously eventually we've decided to kind of, you know, focus resources somewhere else, we saw this incredible group of people that every week faithfully came and faithfully prayed for a group of people, and just really made me feel like at home, which, for context, my family live a long way away, live down in Bristol. So I moved up here and was completely isolated. So for me, this is my family that's close by. So it's just been incredible. And obviously I'm still here, so it must have been all right.
Thank you, Alex. So we may not have a service in Wigan, but we gained the lovely Alex. And, you know, we just love having you on the stage. I was going to say, and Paul, who is obviously probably watching.
And we gave you a husband.
Yeah. And she, yeah.
Got a husband, yeah.
So who knows, Danny may not be married if we hadn't have gone to Wigan. So there you go. Thanks, guys. Let's give these guys a round of applause for sharing their stories. And, you know, it's just so amazing, but we know that that's just a really small amount of stories, and there's just one after another that could tell stories. And, you know, we just look back with amazing thankfulness and gratitude of what God has done here in all of our lives, whether you're here, whether you're watching it on the, you know, on the TV, on the screen, or whether you're at home listening to it. And we just know that, you know, God has just done so much through each and every one of us, and it's just such a privilege to be stood here this morning to be serving God. You know, whatever area you're serving in, it's a privilege. It's just so amazing. And, you know, I just feel so proud, and we feel so proud, as I'm sure you are, you know, of what God has created here at Valley. And we were thinking back to, you know, some of those stories. And as you think about what God has done, you kind of think about, well, what are the marks that were on people that were involved with it, you know, with the beginning? What are the marks on us as we step out and do some of these crazy things? And so we wanted to share, just on the kind of last few minutes, some of the markers that we believe that God has put on people here as they've stepped out in faith. And some of the things that, you know, if we continue to walk in, won't just, you know, bless us in church, but they'll actually bless us in our families. You know, they'll bless us in our home life. They'll bless us in our work life. They'll bless us with our finances. They'll bless us with our friendships, because actually it's the same things that you put in your life that, you know, that God actually commands a blessing where those things are. And so we just wanted to spend a few minutes now just to unpack a little bit of what that means.
In Revelation, Jesus says to the Apostle John, to one of the churches, he said, I want to let you know, church, that you've lost your first love. You've lost your first love. And I don't know about you, it's really easy in a new situation to bring your best, right? It doesn't matter if it's church life or family life or business life or a new job, you bring your best. But successful people, they bring their best every day. And those people, these marks that we want to talk about, they cause those people to have success in every area of their life. And so we've entitled this message, The Marks of Success. And we're going to just share three. I'm sure there's many more that we could share. We want to share three. And the first one I'm going to share is this. In those early days, one of the marks was people were eager to do anything. People were just eager to do anything. They always said yes, they get the job done. No task was beneath them. Shell shared about the nice cafe tables that the school had. Unfortunately, the chairs were like these chairs, and they had a little kind of thing partway up the stool, and the kids would rub their feet on them. And so all the soil and all the muck would fall off, so we had to clean the floor every single time we left the school, and sometimes even mop the floor. It got so bad. But nothing was beneath anybody. Everybody said, if that needs doing, I can do it. If the toilets need cleaning, whoever was free would go and do it. There's nothing beneath them. And nothing was too hard. When you're starting a brand new work, you're starting something fresh, you've got to have a go, right? You just have a go. Why? Because there's nobody else to do it. And it doesn't matter if you're great or rubbish, you're just going to have a go and do your very best you can. And people were just like, we'll have a go. And I used to ask them to do, can you do this or can you do that? And the answer was, yes, I'm not sure I know what I'm doing. I've never done it before, but I'll do my very best and have a go. They were just eager to do anything. I think they had the spirit of King David. I haven't got time, but you can look it up later. In 1 Samuel 17, there's a story of David when he comes to meet his brothers out in the battlefield. And he kind of gives the food he's brought from his dad into the provisions, goes to see his brothers. While he's talking to his brothers, the two armies draw battle lines, and Goliath comes out from the Philistine side, and it's this guy, he's 9 foot, built like a barn door, right? And very experienced in war, and all the Israelites are scared. And God needed somebody. He needed somebody to say, I'll have a go. That's all he needed. He didn't need an expert. David was not an expert. King David was just David then. The shepherd boy David was not an expert in war. It was his first time. But he was willing to have a go, and that's all God needed, was somebody willing to have a go. Because he can do the rest. He just needs somebody willing. And David said, you know, rather than looking at Goliath, wow, you're so big and so experienced, I'm not sure how I'll ever defeat you. I think, and it's not a new phrase, but I think he just thought, you know, Goliath is so big, I can't miss you. I just can't miss you. I've got to hit you somewhere, right? Because you're so big. I can do this with God's help. And people just did anything. And we used to get, when we started, we'd all turn up at 8. Usually started in the kind of auditorium, setting up all the wires and stuff. And the guys who were there will remember it. And then we'd move on to our various roles. And once we'd finished our area, we'd go and make sure everybody else was happy and set up. And then at the end, the same thing would happen. We'd pack up our areas that we were involved with. And then normally we almost always ended up in the auditorium packing up, because that was the most complicated area. And then packing away. And people were just willing to say, I'll do what it takes. I'm eager to do anything. And it's the same in every area of your life. If you want to be successful, you need to be eager to do that which is necessary. We've already talked about babies. And again, when you get new babies, you have to kind of do some of the things you don't want to do, right? Even I had to change nappies. You know, even Jonathan, Thomas, I did change your nappy. I really did. And because you have to. You have to just get the job done, what needs doing. And the market assesses, I'll do what's needed. I'll give it a go. My answer is yes. I'll do that which is necessary.
The second marker that we saw on people's lives was this: living every day for what can be. Living every day for what can be. I don't know how you live every day, whether you live every day for actually what could happen. Like, what amazing thing is going to happen today? You know, what is God going to do today? And we had story after story of things where that happened, you know, where we were waiting for stuff. When we got this building, it didn't have planning permission to be a church. We didn't have the remit to be a worship centre. And so we had to wait for that to come through. Well, the day that came through began a week of miracle after miracle. And by the end of the week, we had everything kitted out. We'd been given tables, chairs, kids' tables and chairs from like a local, I think, school that was giving stuff away. There was a youth club that was not able to now finance itself, but they'd had this amazing football table from the lottery fund, I think, originally, that they'd been given. Then they couldn't use it, so they gave that to us. And there was like one thing after another. And every day you kind of got up going, I wonder what's going to happen today. And, there's something really amazing and crazy living in that place of, you know, what is God going to do today? You know, but, you know, you can live with your glass half empty, or you can live with your glass half full. And when you live with your glass half full, you know, there's always a surprise around the corner. Because the thing is, God is always doing something new.
That's right.
You know, whether or not we see it, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, it says this: "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." And however you feel, whether you see it or not, God is doing something new. You know, God says he will make a way. Whether you feel like you're in a desert, whether you feel like you're, you know, on the top of a mountain, there's a way being made. And in those days, we just lived knowing that God was doing something and just waiting for it to happen. And, it's just basically living with a godly perspective, yeah, isn't it? Because,
right,
you know, God sees how things really are. And he sees what's going to be ahead. He sees what's coming. And, you know, he wants to give his favor to people, the favor of God on your life. And whatever we're looking for, you find, you know, psychologists, if you hear them talk, they'll say you get more of what you look for. And it's so true. You know, if you're looking for what incredible things are going to happen, then your life is full of blessing because you see them. And that is the one of the markers that was on the people then that, you know, will be a blessing in all areas of our lives if we choose to walk in that today.
Amen. And the final one we just want to chat about is this, the final mark of success. So these are some things we should be living every day of our life. The early group, they just took hold of ownership. They owned it. They did not come and help out. They say, no, we're building our future. It wasn't about helping you, as it was about we are doing this together. And it makes a huge difference when people say, I'm not just coming to help you, I'm making this my own, I'm building my future, I'm investing in it, I am part of this. And it is this idea of investing and owning the togetherness. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, at the end of his kind of talk about the body parts, he talks about this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. He says this, so then there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And it says these words, and this is when it becomes our rather than you. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This idea, if you fail, I fail. If you win, I win. It becomes about us winning or us failing back to come in. And people really own that. People really said, this is ours. And we're going to make this thing happen. Be it time, possessions, or money, whatever it was, they invested it willingly and freely because it was our thing and our future. People sacrifice jobs or promotions or time to make things happen. One couple even remortgaged their house to make sure that we could do what God has called us to do. Was that we're in together? Jesus, when he's restoring Peter, if you remember Peter, one of the disciples, he denied Jesus and felt awful about it. And after the resurrection, Jesus calls him aside by a lake and kind of restores him. And you can read the story in John chapter 21, and part of the restoration is that walking down the lakeside, he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I know I've messed up, Jesus, but I do. I think you're amazing. And then Jesus says, well, you need to feed my lambs and then take care of my sheep. Basically saying to Peter, you need to own what I'm about to give you. And church, if when we're successful, not just in church life, but in every area of life, we need to own what we're given. We need to be responsible for it. That's how we succeed in our lives. In every area of our life. So these three marks we've talked about. The mark of saying yes, being willing to do anything. The mark of, as it were, believing God's going to come through. And then this, the third mark, of being an owner rather than just somebody who turns up. And church, we are the leadership, the wider leadership. We as a church are believing for each one of you, wherever you live, whatever you do, that you'll be successful in your family life, whatever that looks like. You'll be successful in your career, in your work life. If you're a business owner, you'll be successful in your business owner. If you're trying to improve your health, you'll be successful in your health. Whatever area of life, we're praying and believing that we can help and empower you to be successful in your life. And these three things I've talked about will help you do that, for sure. But we're also praying for our future together. And so many of you have these traits already. Some of you sat there, on the locations maybe, and going like, oh, I have some of them, but not all of them. That's great. Just decide and get on with it. But we're praying that we together as a church will have an incredible future. We're praying for the guys at Lancaster, at Holton, in their village hall, as they look around. It's about half full, right, guys? And we're praying and believing that your service will be so full, you'll have to start another one on new venue. That's what we're believing for them. For you guys in Blackpool, you know, you've moved into a brand new cinema, which, if we're really honest, is a bit big for you at the moment. But we're believing and praying that one day soon you'll fill the whole cinema, that whole screen. And so that you'll have to go to the management and say, is it okay if we have a bigger screen? We're praying for you guys in the Northeast. You're meeting in a home. And we're believing that shortly you'll begin to gather people. And that you begin to find a venue that's perfect both in the midweek and then at the weekend. We're praying for here. Dave said that the room's full. It is, apart from there's another two curtains to take down. And guys, we need to believe and pray. And we're believing and praying that this room becomes full in the morning and at night. And then we'll have to fill it again in the morning and at night. It's why the coffee shop's been built. so we can expand and grow and see the kingdom of God go forward and more people empowered and more people set free. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're praying for. If we're honest, that's what we're desperate for. That's why we exist. Jesus Christ told us to go and make disciples, to go and build his church, to bring freedom and healing and purpose and meaning, both now and for all eternity, into people's life. And we're believing for that and praying for that. And church, this isn't Vision Sunday, but we're believing for new locations, new campuses, new countries, where God will call us and we can do something amazing for him. Church, we need to have the same heart as those that begin and carry that heart every single day, the same attitude. And then God comes along to the willing with his strength and his wisdom, and amazing things can happen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.